27th chapter of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. I'll read a few of these verses here this evening, which have to do with the unjust accusations made against the Lord Jesus. And Jesus stood before the governor. That's the 11th verse. And the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" Remember now, this is the testimony of God concerning him, that he went about doing good. So I wonder about all these accusations that these folks made against him. What kind of a ground or a basis for their accusations did they have? Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. It was unusual for the governor to be in the presence of one who was accused unjustly and falsely and not make a response of some sort. He gave no effort to defend himself against the lies that were told regarding him. And he marveled at that. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release the people a prisoner, whom they would, at this particular time of the season and year, they released one of the prisoners, and he was asking the people, have you fellows got together and decided on what prisoner you want me to release? And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. That is, he was notorious for his wickedness. And there wasn't a single solitary thing about him that had any redeeming value. Nothing. He was just out and out a convict, a robber and a thief, injurious, notable prisoner. He certainly was. Therefore, when they gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Will ye that I release unto you Barabbas," this notorious one, "or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He knew what they wanted. And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Now, I don't know what the outcome of that lady's life amounted to. I don't know. I hope for the best. But she told the truth here. Now, whether she really understood, I don't know. But she said he was a just man. Bible says that the just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So this is the one who's going to deliver the prisoners. He's the one that's going to break the chains that bind them and deliver them from bondage. He's the one that's going to be accountable for them. And she said to her husband, she said, have nothing to do with that just man. Now, just in the sense of the context here means right, correct, the upright one, or the accurate one. This just one, right one, accurate one, upright one. All of those fit his character. She said, for I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Must have had a nightmare of some sort. And the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. And Pilate said unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And they all say unto him, let him be crucified. Well, if Jesus Christ is all in all, like we read that he was here this morning, if Jesus Christ the Lord is all and in all, then what are men going to do without him? What kind of a plea will the average person make if he is able to make a plea at the end when judgment day comes? What kind of a plea if Christ is of no value, if men like these men reject him and say, give us a thief instead. Deliver the thief, and crucify Jesus. Kill him. Put him on the tree. If he's all and in all, what use then is a Christless religion? If he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father except by him, if that's true, then what use is a religion without him? And what pleas will men make at the judgment bar of God? A Christless religion. And that is what is predominant in our time, is a religion without Christ. A Christless religion availeth nothing. Most people that are involved in this Christless religion, they have a few vague notions and empty expressions, and they trust that they're no worse than somebody else. That's a Christless religion, which will avail nothing. Christ is all in the sinner's justification before God. Through Christ alone can we have admission into the presence of Almighty God. A Christless religion is vain and useless. What can a man bring as a plea for his acquittal before the Most High God if he has that opportunity? I don't know that he will, but it indicates that some at this great judgment, according to paragraphs that I've read in the Bible about judgment, some of them's going to say, "Lord, we've done this and that in thy name. We've cast out devils in thy name. We've preached in thy name, done miracles in thy name." So evidently, they're going to make some plea, and indicates that maybe the ordinary person like you and I, if we be outside of the Lord Jesus, that they may furnish us a certain allotted of time to make a plea. What will be my plea? What will be your plea? Their plea was that they cast out devils. And they said, "We did it. We didn't do it in our name. We cast out devils in your name." And our Lord said, "Depart from me. Take your place. Bind them hand and foot." What will be my plea? What will be your plea for acquittal before the Most High God? Shall we say, "We've done our duty. We've done our duty to God. We have done our duty to our neighbor"? Will that be our plea? It will be a plea grounded on a lie, because we haven't done our duty towards God and we haven't done our duty towards man. But will that be our plea? Shall we bring forward at that time our prayers and our regularity, our morality, our church going? Shall we ask to be accepted on the basis of any of these things? Will that be our plea? I go to church every Sunday, or I've been very faithful in prayer meeting night and things of that nature. Shall we ask to be accepted because of any of these? Which of these will stand the searching inspection before the eye of God? Not a one of them. Not a single solitary one. Mouths are going to be shut, I guess. Well, I know this. If we come and make a plea in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no other ground that we can stand on except that name. If to be accepted by God, we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is all and in all. We must stand on no other ground, make no other place, make no other plea than this: that I'm a sinner, hopeless and helpless, and unless you show mercy, I'm doomed and damned forever. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ is the message of the Bible. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. All ye that are trying to work your way into God's presence. All those that are weighted down with religion, a Christless one at that, those that are weary in doing these things in order to gain God's attention or trying to gain favor in God's sight, weary of all of that, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest for your soul. It's come to Him. Come, being robed, dressed in the garment of our elder brother, who's the Lord Jesus. He's not only our advocate, but He's our elder brother. He's our brother. He was God, condescended, become a man. Took upon Himself our flesh, become a human being. So is our elder brother. So if we come to the Lord Jesus Christ as sinners, we come dressed in His garment of righteousness. If we come to the gates of glory in our own name, in our own worth, which we have no worth or value, we shall not be admitted. Only the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is the passport to God's eternity. And I've said that and said that and said that and said that over and over and over and over and over. Month after month and month after month and year after year and a lifetime of saying that wherever I preach, whether it be to the few or to the many, I always say, you've got to come to Him. You've got to do business with God. I always say, the only place that God and the sinner will meet is in Christ Jesus. He'll meet you on no other ground. Come robed in the garment of our elder brother. Oh, if we come in our own name and in our own works, we shall not be admitted. No, the mark of the blood of Christ is the only mark that can save us, poor sinners. I pity those people who try to be holy without Christ. They labor in vain. And there's lots of them. All these that are in these Christless churches where Christ is not honored and exalted, where Christ is not preached, all these are an offense to God. They're an offense. They dishonor God. Their labor is in vain. It's like putting money in a bag with holes in it. It's like pouring water into a sieve. Christ is the only meeting place between God and man. She said, have nothing to do with that just man. Have nothing to do with him. He's a just man. He's an accurate man. He's an upright man. Have nothing to do with him. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. The whole world hated him. A man who went about doing good. Altogether loved him. One who God testified Himself with a loud voice, said, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. And the whole world hated, including you and I. Don't you be afraid to say that you didn't hate Him. You did. If you didn't love Him, you hated Him. If you can't hate, you can't love. You can't love, you can't hate. We all hated him. Didn't want him to interfere. Well, is there a proud soul among us here tonight? Is there anyone thinking of making himself fit for heaven and good enough to pass muster by his own doings? Is anybody here like that tonight? Well, if you are, then you're building a tower like those fellas in the book of Genesis who built a tower to nowhere, a tower of Babel that went no place, trying to reach heaven and all the works and the pleas of lost men is going nowhere. It's a tower. You never reach heaven in the present state that you're in right now. If you would be justified, you must be content to go to heaven as a beggar with empty hands. Nothing in my hand I bring, we sing. Nothing, absolutely nothing in my hand I bring. I simply cling to Him. That's all I got. Oh, come to Him as a beggar without nothing and be saved by the free grace of God or never go at all. Come that way as you are, nothing in your hand. As a beggar, no merit. Or never go at all. That's as short as I can make it. But there may be one here who is laboring and is heavy laden, who wants to be saved, and they feel like they are vile sinners. Well, I say, you come to Christ. Come to Him. Come to this just man. That Pilate's wife said, have nothing to do with that just man. He is a just man. He enables God Himself to be just and to be the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Are there one here tonight that fears the wrath of God? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's all in all, in justification, in sanctification, and in salvation, and in redemption, He can deliver you. He can deliver the vilest sinner from the wrath to come if you come to Him. Are there one here who feels the curse of the broken law? Well, I'll tell you this. Christ can redeem you from the curse of the broken law. Come to Him, this just one. Does your conscience bother you and tell you that you're guilty and you're just playing religion? You've just been playing all these years? Your conscience convicts you and tells you that you're guilty. And you know you are. Do you feel like you're far off from God and there's no way back? Or you've never been with Him to begin with? Well, Christ, the Bible says, has suffered in the sinner's place to bring the sinner nigh unto God. Do you feel unclean tonight? Well, if you do, Christ's blood can cleanse us from all sin and shame and guilt. Do you feel imperfect? We all are imperfect. The only problem is Most of us won't admit it. But we are imperfect. And if we're imperfect, we are sinners. Well, listen. The Bible says if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ with all your sins and all your guilt and your shame, He'll make you complete in Him. For He's all and in all. He'll make you complete. Well, do you feel like you're nothing? Christ will be your all in all if you feel like you're nothing. Never did a saint. Never. That's a long time. Never did a saint reach heaven with any tale, any story but this. I was made white and I was washed in the blood of the Lamb. That'll be the story of the sinner going to heaven. I've been washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. I've been cleansed. Well, can you come like that, empty-handed? Can you come? Listen, don't allow yourself to mingle anything of your own with Christ. Don't allow yourself to do that. Don't allow yourself to add anything to Christ. I do not frustrate the grace of God, he said. I don't mix up the grace of God. I don't frustrate it. If I do, then the Lord Jesus Christ died in vain. It's all of the Lord Jesus Christ or nothing. Well, let me just recite here some things that are strange and mysterious, but yet these things are true of concerning the Lord Jesus. And these are figures which are used in the Bible to tell of the fullness of Jesus Christ, who said, Christ is all and in all. He's all in everything. All in creation. He'll be all in the world to come. He'll be all in heaven. He'll be the object of adoration, even in heaven right now. And He'll be all in all in between. And these are figures here that I'm going to recite to you. And they're used in the Bible to tell of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is all in all. It says that He's called a high priest, one that stands between God and the sinner. He's the high priest. And it says He's the Redeemer. And it says He's the Mediator. And it says He's the Savior. And it says He's the Advocate, the Lawyer, who pleads the sinner's case. And He never lost the case. Never have lost the case. Now, old Jeff's the Lawyer. He's lost a case or two. I would hope he'd never lose a case. I hope that from every case he has from now on, he wins every one of them. But I know he won't. But this lawyer, this mediator, this pleader, this crier out on behalf of the poor, the Lord Jesus Christ never lost a case. He's called the Advocate. And then to the other extreme, he's called the shepherd of the sheep. And then he's called the Physician, the great Physician. It says that He did not come for people who are well and not sick. He come for those that are sick and in need. The great Physician. He's called the Physician. He's called the Bridegroom. He's called the Head. He's called the Bread of Life. He's called the Light of the World. He's called the Way, the Truth, and the Life.
and the door and the vine and the rock and the fountain and the Son of Righteousness and the forerunner and the surety and the captain and the Prince of Life and the Amen. He's called the Almighty. He's called the author and the finisher of faith. He's the Lamb of God. He's the King of kings. He's the King of saints. He's the wonderful, mighty God and the blessed eternal counselor. He's the bishop of our souls. And there's many more other types and figures in the scriptures that tells us of the fullness and the completeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. What value is a Christless religion? No value at all. No value at all. It's Christ or nothing. Well, the Lord bless us. We'll meet again on Wednesday night and talk about Him whom to know is life eternal. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.